Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to the show. Today's March 20th, 2024, and you're listening to episode number 6. I've been getting so much great feedback on this new podcast, and I'm super thankful that you're here. And for all of you that come back each week to listen, it truly means so much to me. But would you do me a couple huge favors and be sure to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform? And if you'd also be so kind to leave us a review. Those two things really help us with the algorithms and help us grow. I appreciate you so much. And if you're new here, welcome. I'm Jamie from Roam in Your Home, and my husband Randy and I have been full-time RVers since 2017. And the goal of this podcast is to give people a glimpse of RV life and hear from real full-time RVers that are living the dream. We pull back the curtain and ask all the questions and get all the answers of what we wish we knew before we started full-time RVing. My goal is to share these real-life conversations with you each week so you can get the information that you need to be able to roam in your home too. Today, you're going to love my conversation with Janelle, the owner of the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club. I was so excited to learn about this wonderful club and all the amazing adventures they take each year. She was so generous to give our listeners a special gift, but I'll let her explain that to you. If you or anyone you know would love to travel in a group and take the guesswork out of trip planning, you are in for a treat. I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Janelle.
Hi, Janelle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm super excited to have you here. I have loved following all your adventures on Instagram, and I can't wait to get to know you better and for our listeners to learn more about you and your experiences.
Well, I appreciate you saying that you've been looking on Instagram, because I do have a heck of a life, if I do say so myself. I travel full time and live a great life.
You sure do. And I love what you are doing. I'm super excited to have our listeners find out more about what you're doing. So if you want to start us off, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I call myself an RV travel enabler. I own the Wandering Individuals Network, which is the oldest RV club for solo travelers. It began in 1988 with 7 people sitting around a campfire. And back in 1988, people didn't travel by themselves like they do now, especially women traveling in RV by themselves. But from that little group, it's evolved 36 years later into this club where we travel all over the United States, Canada, Mexico. We travel on our own, but together as a group.
Oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Oh, kudos to you and all the people that join you. That is phenomenal.
It is a great club. People that RV by themselves have that independent spirit anyway. But I don't care how independent you are and how happy you are on your own. Every once in a while, you want to go on a hike with somebody, go to a museum, go out to eat with somebody. And through our club, you pop in and out of any of the trips that we have going as much as you want or as little as you want. You can always find friends there. You'll find your tribe, as I like to say. I know I found mine. I've been traveling with them since 2019. And I love it.
Oh, I am so glad, because you're right. I have talked to so many people who are by themselves and who look at us and it's like, oh, I'd really like to do that, but I don't have anyone to do that with. And maybe they're a little bit afraid and, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so they could still have like the best of both worlds, where they have their alone time being in their RV by themselves, but they don't have to feel alone. So I love what you're doing, where everybody gets to get together and you could come as you want and join in whenever you have the time. So I love that.
And that's exactly what it is. Maybe you've done the West so much that you're tired of it, but you notice on one of our trips that we're going to be in the Grand Canyon riding bikes for a week, and you don't know that you can ride a bicycle through Grand Canyon, so you pop in and hang out with us. Now, it's important to note, we're not a meetup group, and that's done on purpose, because with a meetup group, that's great for that week, but we have opportunities all year. And when you travel with a group for 3 or 4 months, even if you're popping in and out, and most people get here and stay a month or so for sure, most people do tend to start traveling with us and kind of stay with us. I'm not not saying you're going to like everybody that you're traveling with, but I bet 9 out of 10 of them you'll like or have something in common with. Because after all, we're all the same. We're traveling on our own, but want to have friends and people to hang out with.
So how many people, like approximately, I'm sure every trip is different, but approximately how many people are in your group that camp together?
Well, it just depends on where we're going. For instance, we did the Canadian Maritimes this last summer. We were there all summer. There were 16 RVs. Right now in Florida, we've got a whole 6-month trip that we hang out in Florida for the winter. And I want to say there's 25 there. And then at one point it dropped down to 9. And I think it's at 19 now. We have a Western winter circuit. We call our trips circuits too. I don't know why, but they just always have. And I wasn't going to change it after 36 years.
Oh, good to know.
Yes, they call them circuits. So we have a Western winter circuit going on right now. And I think there's 14 of them. So it just depends. You don't have to check in. You don't have to sign in. So we really don't know who's showing up or how many or how long you're going to stay.
Okay, so good to know. That was actually my next question. How do you sign up for these? So how do you actually find out about them then? And how do you let somebody know that you're coming, or how does it work?
Okay, good question. It's very simple. People have trouble with it because it's so simple. You join the club. It's $120 a year. Side note, Jamie, I'd like to give your listeners $10 off the first time they sign up with us. They'll go to the website, sign in, and use the coupon code RoamInYourHome. And I want to give them $10 off for being one of your listeners.
Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get everybody traveling in an RV.
Right.
So you sign up on the website, wanderingindividualsnetwork.com. You sign up, and then you have access to all the trip details, not just the Canadian Maritimes or Florida. You have all of them. We've got Waltz Across Texas coming up that'll start us in Big Bend National Park, take us all the way up to Pella, Iowa for a tulip festival. And then we'll do the Badlands going west for, I don't know, a couple months. And then we'll do Washington and Oregon for another month or two. And then we're going to come down the California coast and end up right back in the Arizona area where you can do the Arizona winter if you'd like.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
It is. And that's just the West Coast. Yeah, it is amazing. We go to Mexico every year as a group. And that's one of the only times we kind of caravan. That's another question I get a lot. We don't caravan, except for the Mexico, only because some people are kind of nervous or afraid or anxious. And so we do meet up and drive across the border together. If you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, we have that option.
Nice.
We don't caravan because, again, we travel on our own, but together. Some people like to get up and get the RV packed and be out by the crack of dawn. And then there's people like me that, you know, get rolling at 10 o'clock. All you need to know, and you'll see it once you sign up on the website, you'll see, oh, our next stop is, you know, Lake Havasu, whatever. And so, you know, to be there by the meeting at 5 o'clock. Every trip we go on throughout the country at 5 o'clock every day, there's a meeting. That's how you know what's going on. You could go to the meeting or not, but most people do. And it just maybe have an adult beverage, but you learn about what we're going to do the next day and, you know, suggest what you want to do and who wants to do it with you. And it might be grocery shopping and it might be a hike or a 13-mile bike ride.
Oh, I love that. That gives you a chance to meet everybody. And like you said, know exactly what you're doing the next day, if you want to be involved or not. I love that. I love it. Keeps everybody, you know, kind of accountable too of who's there and who's going to do what. I love it.
Yeah, it's a simple, easy way to do it. And they've been doing it this way, like I said, for 35 years. And it's also a way that builds that community, that builds the friendship. When you meet every day and half the time we end up eating together where we potluck it or everybody just brings their plate of food, we end up all hanging out eating together. And then you go hiking with them the next day. And then the day after, 4 of us pack in a car, run down to the grocery store to buy a couple things. And then the next day we go to a museum. And then the next day we have a big campfire. You get to know people and you get to see who it is that you travel with well, and you develop these lifelong friendships.
I was just going to say, I bet there has been so many friendships made that they wouldn't have been able to meet each other any other way. And this is such a gift. Wow, this is awesome.
You know, it is. And also, when you travel RV on your own, where do you meet friends? Your friends at your house, your family think you're crazy, most of them, for doing this, having this lifestyle, right?
Right.
And people at campgrounds are very nice, you know, for that week that you're there. But we tend to dry camp a lot because we know beautiful areas all over the country. That's another thing about joining us. We have tons of places you can go to camp free or pretty cheap or little tricks that we know that will save you money. I always tell people, you travel with us a month. If it even takes that long to recoup your money, I'd be surprised. You'll recoup your money right away. The camaraderie, the traveling with people that have been doing it a lot longer than you, and you pick up the tips and the tricks. And I don't care how long you've been RVing. If you travel with other RVers, you're going to pick up a couple things here and there that makes your life easier.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't camp. We thrive. We have a life. We enjoy a life on the road.
Oh, I love that. I love that you're doing that. And I have a big question, and I'm sure some listeners are going to have the question too. So do you have to be alone to travel with you and join your group?
No, you do not. Our group is for the solo traveler. It doesn't say single, it says solo traveler. We used to push the single thing hard, but that's just not accurate. It's solo travelers. And you know, whenever you get men and women, the birds and the bees together, you know, the honey's going to be made. So we have couples, yes. The bulk of us travel on our own for sure, but we do have couples here and there. We've got some married people. The guy that's leading the Alaska circuit coming up in May, he's married, but he retired much younger than his wife did. And after sitting around for a while, he's like, you know, honey, I got to go travel. And she was like, yes, please go. Please go travel. So she comes in and flies in and meets him here and there. She's going to Alaska. It's a little bit of everything, but the bulk of us, yes, are solo.
Okay. So good to know. I just love what you're doing. It's so interesting. And it really gives an option for people who want to have this life, even if they are married, but maybe their spouse doesn't want to, and they just want to get out for, you know, a few months and explore, and their spouse just is happy to stay at home. I love that this is an option. This is so cool. I can think of so many people that I can't wait to tell about this because they just think, well, if my spouse doesn't want RV, then I can't. And that's not true. So that's so cool.
You know, it's not true. I talked to a lady, had dinner with her the other night, lovely woman, kind of a new member, and her husband has passed and they always RV. And so she likes this lifestyle. You know, she still has a house, so she only does it 3 or 4 months a year, but she realized this is a good fit for her because she's on her own, but yet, you know, she still can travel with friends and still be with us, but she doesn't have to do it all the time. So it's a perfect mix for someone like that as well.
And I can imagine too, like her family would feel better about knowing that she's with a group rather than going and being out on her own alone.
Yeah, that's true. When I first told my family, I'm selling everything I own and hitting the road. Oh my gosh, they were so worried. And then they saw my RV. I've got a 36-foot RV. And my mom, she set me down in the living room and she's like, honey, is everything all right with your money? Do you need some money? My sister set me down and talked to me about how serial killers get people that are on the road. And I'm not joking with you a bit.
Yes. I'm laughing because we've had the same exact conversation. We recently sold our 40-foot fifth wheel and temporarily bought a 20-foot travel trailer to be able to make more memories and do like a bucket list adventure. And the first person we told was my husband's brother, my brother-in-law. And when we sent the picture, like, this is our new home, his text back was, call me immediately.
Yeah, right. And
when he called back, he was like, what happened? Do you need money? Do you need to move in? Like, what happened? People just don't get it.
They don't. And it's too bad. I'm not saying that living in a sticks and bricks house is bad at all.
Right.
It's not for me. I retired at 54. You know, I was fortunate. And I sat in my house so excited for about a year, not having to do anything and go anywhere. And I was like, wow, I'm pretty young to be sitting here. And, you know, I took up hobbies, you know, gardening, sewing, crafting, painted the house, redid the house twice. And I was like, okay, that's been 6 months. Now what? So, and I've always had that wanderlust in me. So this, again, I keep coming back to this, but I'm telling you, Jamie, I have found my tribe here, and I think it's a viable option for a lot of your listeners as well.
Oh, I am so excited to have you here to share this. And I'm learning a lot already, and I thought I already knew it, but wow, this is so cool. I'm really excited for everyone to hear about this and to know that they could do so much more than they ever even realized. So I want to find out, like, how long have you been on the road?
So I retired in 2015. And as I said, I, you know, hung out for a little while and then I started traveling. I went to Europe. That's what everybody does, right? You go to Europe. So 6 months later, with my savings, cravings crying out for relief, I realized I needed to do something. And I was able to do a lot of soul searching while I was in hiking the Amalfi Coast, hanging out, drinking champagne in France. It was fabulous. But I realized that I liked the travel, but I want my stuff with me. And so then I started noticing RVs. Where I'd worked before, there was a Prevost dealership across the street from me. And I'd seen the $1 million buses. And that was back in the day, they're $1 million. I stopped in there one time and looked. I was like, well, okay, that's probably not for me. But then I started noticing other RVs. I thought, well, maybe I could do this. So I bought my starter RV, I call it, in 2017, I think. And I did everything to that RV. I wrecked it. I jackknifed it. I hit a McDonald's. I backed into a fence twice, my parents' fence. I mean, I took everything off the roof with a tree branch. And I mean everything, Jamie. Of course, it was pouring down rain. It just ruined the RV, just trashed the RV. So I have been on the road then seriously since 2019. I realized in my starter RV, I went to Alaska in that RV too. I realized that I was only coming to my house to check on my house. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I'm going to buy a class A, you know, like a little home, a tiny home that I'm comfortable in, and I'm going to hit the road. And that's exactly what I've been doing since 2019.
Oh, good for you. So that's your second RV then, is a class A?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a Tiffin and it's 36 feet. And with my car, I'm 60 feet going down the road. I'm a hot mess. Let me tell you, going down the road. And I get the, which I'm sure you do as well, at the gas stations particularly, I get the, do you drive that thing all by yourself? I get that a lot. And I kind of like that, to tell you the truth, because I like people to see, oh, wow, number one, that's an option. Number two, I want other women to see, maybe this is something they'd like to do as well.
I am in awe of you. So I have to admit that I have not ever driven our RV. So we only had a fifth wheel and a travel trailer. So we towed and I was gung-ho. Like I want to learn how to drive the 40-foot fifth wheel and, you know, the big dually truck. Like I drove the truck obviously without towing, but I want to learn it. I'm so excited. And then I got scared. And to be honest, like we drove separate because we were doing travel therapy at the time. So I drove a small SUV towing my husband's motorcycle. So I didn't feel like comfortable driving by myself, and we had two different vehicles to drive, so we never had the opportunity for him to teach me to drive. So I kind of use that as an excuse, to be honest with you. And then with this little one, I'm like, oh, for sure, I'm gonna drive this. Like, we, you know, have a small truck, small, you know, little travel trailer, but I still haven't, and I just need to get over that. And now, hearing about you, 36 foot motorhome, towing a vehicle, that is fantastic. And how hard was it?
It was not at all. Because you know why, Jamie? It's not a driving thing. Anybody can drive. You can learn to drive. You learned to drive a car, didn't you? We were all scared when we drove the car. But it's just practice, right? You know, you run over a few curbs, you hit a building. Hey, as long as nobody dies, whatever.
I love it.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's true. I walked in the building. I go, hey, I just clipped your building. And they're like, yeah, we see you. They had it on video. I'm like, here's my insurance. I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose, whatever. Same when I jackknifed in the gas station. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm trying. They're like, hey, well, you're blocking traffic. I'm like, you think I'm doing this on purpose, buddy? I'm trying. So driving the RV is a mental thing. Anybody can learn to drive it. It's a mental thing. You said yourself, I can drive the other one. It's just this one. I don't know. You still turn, you still stop, you still put your blinker on, you still have to watch the road. Now, do you have to watch the road a lot more? Yes. Do you really need to make sure you have your blinker on? Yes. But again, with practice, it's nothing.
I love that. And that is so awesome that you weren't afraid of it. And I think that's so many times where our fear sets in and then we don't have the courage to do it. And I love that you're so courageous, you know, and with selling your home and doing this solo and then buying this huge motorhome and towing, and you're just like, I'll figure it out as I go. I love that about you. That's so cool. And look at what it's enabled you to do. Have this life of your dreams. How cool is that?
We've all heard some kind of version of, if you're going through hell, just keep going, or, you know, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Right.
I kind of apply that to this life as well. If I can learn to turn a 36-foot vehicle in cross traffic, look what it's going to lead me to. It's going to lead me to the Canadian Maritimes. It's going to lead me to hike the wave in Utah. So if I can just learn to take a right turn, all right, now I can learn to take a left turn. Bam, I got the turns down. And then the stopping in front of me, well, you know, people need to get out of the way because these things don't stop on a dime.
Right.
But I'm probably going to be okay. It's them I'm going to drive up over. Right. But I knew if I could get the mind part down right, that it would lead to so much of this life. And here I am 4.5 years later, and it has exactly led to so much of this life.
Well, you are an inspiration. I am so inspired by you, and I know that our listeners will be too. That is so cool that you're doing this. I love it. So now that you are in your motorhome, and it sounds so gorgeous, like I've seen the pictures and it looks amazing, and I'm sure you've, you know, did some research to find this one. What are three things that you love about it?
Three things I love about it is that it's a tiny home. I have a living room, a separate bedroom, a separate bathroom, a separate kitchen. It is comfortable for me. It has plenty of storage. I mean, I have a fireplace, a washer dryer, central vac. It's very nice. Now, again, I didn't start off with this, so just to be sure, but I love that about it. I love the storage. I love the underneath storage that I have. For me, it is very comfortable for what I need.
Awesome. Did you do a lot of shopping? Like, did you go to different RV shows or different RV dealers, look on YouTube? How did you find this RV for you?
Well, I'd like to say I did a little research, but I'm not like that. I'm an all in or all out kind of girl, you know. When I decided to buy an RV, I'd never even driven one. I'd never even been in one. So, you know, I walked in, I'm like, I'm doing this and I'm driving it. So when I got the Class A, I based it on what dealerships were in Fort Worth, Texas, because it's a big town. It's sort of kind of in the middle of the country. I knew that I would have to go there for repairs. My family lives in Weatherford, Texas, about 30 minutes away. So that's what I wanted it to be, just for convenience. And then I had driven past the Tiffin dealership, and then I started stalking Tiffin Facebook groups and learned that Tiffin is a good brand and their customer service is very good. So I walked in, I'm like, what's the smallest Class A you have? And they led me over to this one, and I looked around. I'm like, I'll take it. I came back about 3 days later and said, let me look at this again. And I looked around again, and I gave him $10,000 down to hold it and bought the RV.
Oh, I love that story. That is so cool. That is so cool. And Tiffin, yes. I mean, that's such a great brand. So well known, such a great reputation. I've heard really good things from the people who have Tiffins about their customer service and what they do. So that's awesome.
Their customer service is legendary. I mean, if you want to, you can call and talk to Mr. Bob Tiffin, the owner himself.
That's what I heard.
You can. I've never done it, but they're very good. It's still a mom and pop. I go there about once a year to get little things fixed and done and upgraded and checked and looked at. And Red Bay, Alabama, everybody calls it the mothership. It's this teeny town with nothing except Tiffin. And everybody works there, and the town is supported by the Tiffin manufacturing place.
Oh, that's so cool. That is awesome. So since you didn't do a lot of research and you kind of just went in and bought the one that you really wanted, the smallest Class A, is there things that now that you've been in it, is there things that you dislike and that you wish were a little bit different?
Oh gosh, yeah. Number one, the gas pump when I'm pulled up there is a frightening experience every time. I always stop, well, you know, try to stop when I'm around half a tank of gas, which is 80 gallons. So doing the math at 40 gallons times $3, $4. When I was in Canada, it was $6.70. Yeah, I'm like, all right, well, it's eating this month or gas.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part. I have a gas engine. I might go, should have done a diesel. And then sometimes I'm okay with it. But looking back, maybe I should have done a diesel. And I wish this RV had all these amenities, but was like 10 foot long. Could be so much easier in my life.
Right.
But otherwise, I love this RV. I mean, the gas price is crazy, but you know what? It's part of owning the RV. It's just part of the deal. People ask me, what's my gas mileage? What I get by mile? And I'm like, well, if I'm parked, the wind is at my back, and I'm going downhill, I think I get about 7 miles to the gallon.
I don't know if you've ever heard of like the little Jeep phrase that's smiles per gallon, not miles per gallon.
There you go.
So there you go. That's what it's all about, the smiles per gallon.
I never heard that, yeah. But I like it. I like it. And you know, I just factor in that cost. My expenses are super low otherwise, and I just factor that cost in of having this RV.
That's true. And it's so worth it. I mean, yes, I think we all can say, like, whether we have a motorhome or we tow, the miles per gallon are horrible, but look at what it can bring you. And yeah, I think it's worth it.
Yes. When I went to Alaska, I was in the other RV and it got better gas mileage. And I had put $2,000 aside for gas, leaving from Washington, going through Canada to Skagway, Alaska. I put $2,000 aside. I used every single dime of that $2,000.
Wow. Good to know.
Well, gas was so high back then too.
Right. Oh my goodness. Wow.
I wouldn't change going to Alaska. I don't care I spent that $2,000. I mean, do I wish I had the $2,000? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've gone to Alaska now, so I wouldn't change that for anything.
Yeah, that is on our bucket list. We can't wait to go one day.
Oh, totally do it.
And so now when you were shopping and, you know, not shopping for the RV, but just kind of like getting into this new RV life and kind of shopping for what you need. I don't know if you discovered Camping World. Like, that was never a thing for us until we had an RV, and it was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, all the stuff that you could use, or I don't know, I was looking on Pinterest a lot for ideas, and I love exploring, like, what are some RV must-haves or accessories? And even still, after 6 years of doing this, we're still finding new things like, oh, I gotta have that. So I want to ask you, what are some RV accessories or must-haves that you think?
I have three things that I always tell everyone as they are joining our club or, you know, groups I talk to. Three things that I just think is the most important. Number one is a number 2 square screwdriver.
Oh.
The inside of your RV is filled with 40,000 screws. And that number 2 square screwdriver or drill bit or whatever you want will fit just about every screw inside your RV. So if you have that one, and I'd buy 2 or 3, throw one outside, throw one inside, because you know those screws, you'll be walking on your floor and there's a screw laying there. You're like, now what the heck did that come from? So there's that. And then the second one is carry a water pump. Look up what your water pump is, buy it on Amazon or wherever you want to get it, $60-ish, and throw it underneath in the bay. And you'll carry it around for about a year, and then you'll be parked in a parking lot in Pennsylvania on a Sunday with no town within 50 miles, and your water pump will go out, and you will be able to just open your bay, do 2 screws, and have a new water pump. That's my number 2 strong one. And then my third one is have an attitude of, I wonder what's going to happen today. Don't dread it, but embrace it. I had a tire blowout of my right front tire in my RV in Maine, and I was on a 2-lane road blocking traffic both ways. The cops were behind me going, you need to move. I'm like, buddy, I'm all in. What's your thoughts here? I'd love to move. Great idea. And there was no tire in Maine. So I stopped. I'm like, well, this is going to be a great story. So let's just go with this. No one's dead. No one's going to die. So this is going to be an experience. And people are like, oh yeah, have a great attitude. But if you really and truly will adopt that, then this lifestyle will be so fulfilling as opposed to dreading what's going to happen to you. Embrace what's going to happen, because stuff is going to happen to you in an RV. You are going to have blowouts. The motor is going to die. The water pump is going to go out. And so if you can carry that great attitude, that openness attitude in your passenger seat, I mean, it is a calming presence in your life. You'll be so fulfilled by this lifestyle.
What great advice, Janelle. That is so true. Because it's not if, but when. It is going to happen. And we were always on eggshells, like, oh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? And, you know, then after like the first thing, it was like, oh, okay, we can handle this. And it is. Attitude is everything. I love that. And what a great idea about the square little drill bit or screwdriver. Because yes, we lost ours. It's like, oh, it's always when you need it that you can't find it. And so yes, have a couple of those or a few of them. And I love that. And the water pump. Okay, I'm putting that on my list. I'm definitely getting one to have in storage.
Somebody told me that my RV club, Wandering Individuals Network, somebody told me that. And I'm like, I don't need a water pump. My rig is new. I don't, you know. And they're like, get it. I'm telling you, get it. And so, okay, whatever. I got it. 6 months later, you know, I got it. Carried it around for a year, forgot all about it. And then in that parking lot in Pennsylvania, which overlooking a beautiful mountain and area, it was so great. And I was like, wonder what that noise is with the water. Wonder what. And then I realized I have no water. And I was with the group and somebody's like, your water pump is out. I'm like, I didn't have a water pump. up. It was the greatest day of my life to have that.
Oh, what a good feeling. Crisis avoided. I love that. Oh, that's so cool. And so since you did this on your own and you're so brave, and I just applaud you, this is like the coolest conversation. What were you kind of thinking that was going to be difficult that's actually easier than you thought?
I thought it would be difficult driving it. Well, because I didn't know. I thought it would be difficult driving it. I thought that I would have to change a tire. Like, I was afraid of having a tire blow out because I don't know why. Somehow I saw myself on the side of the road jacking up the RV. I don't know why. I wouldn't say I was afraid, but I was anxious about how do you get from point A to B if it's 1,000 miles? Like, I didn't know enough to go, oh, 1,000 miles. Awesome. I can see this and this and this and this on the way, and I can take 3 weeks. At first, I still had that mindset of, okay, I'm leaving today. I'm doing 400 miles today. I'm going to drive 8 hours. I'm going to sleep right here. And I'm going to go. So I didn't know, like, where do you stay if you're going A to B and it's 1,000 miles? I didn't know, like I said, to stop and see the sights on the way and get rid of that attitude of get to point B. No, B is, there's subsection A with a paragraph 1, 2, and 3 of places you can stop and see. And that's, again, how you enjoy this lifestyle. Stop and see the world's biggest ball of yarn on the side of the road.
I love that. Yes. Enjoy the journey. Don't just like rush to the destination. I love that.
Yes. That's a much better succinct way to say it. Enjoy the journey. And until I got the RV, I didn't know to do that, Jamie. I really didn't. I've always been go, 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 get up the ladder, succeed, get something else, get bigger, get better, get stronger. And I didn't realize that an RV life taught me that. The journey is worth it, or as much as the destination.
I love that. We totally learned that too. We were just living for our vacation or a weekend, and we were missing things that we literally just drove by every single day, just didn't feel like we had time for. And there was beauty around us, and we felt like we didn't even see it. And then it took us our first RV trip, and we traveled across the country. It was our first time taking a travel contract. We were in Daytona Beach, Florida. Our first contract was San Francisco, California. So literally went from East Coast to West Coast, never been west of Indiana in our lives. So it was a huge eye opener. And we were there and we were doing travel therapy. We're a physical therapist assistant. So we were doing home health in the city, seeing all this beauty. And it was like, oh, wow, this is so cool. How great that we were able to see all this and cross these things off our bucket list. We come back to Florida that we were living in for, you know, 15 years at the time. And all of a sudden our eyes were open to like, oh, wow, there's beauty here too. Mm-hmm. We were too busy to see it. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like, yeah, this RV life really taught us to kind of slow down and have like bigger eyes and really live in the present to see the beauty that's right in front of us. I love that. And it is part of the journey. Let's just not be in such a rush and slow down. And we're missing so much if we're in such a hurry. So I love that. That's so cool. And then I wanted to find out too, like, since you are doing this alone, and again, I applaud you. I just love that you're doing this alone. You're such an inspiration. Is there anything that's a little bit more difficult than you were expecting?
Not really, because I have a good attitude. I mean, now listen, Jamie, it ain't good every day. I promise you, it is not good every day. But for the most part, I look forward to what's fixing to happen or I look forward to this podcast today because I didn't know where it would lead us. I try to keep positive in front of me and try to accept. So there really wasn't anything difficult. I mean, I drove down a dirt road for 8 miles one time and couldn't figure out how to turn around. I was scared and anxious and thought I was going to die. I don't know why, but so, I mean, I was scared of that or I didn't like that, but otherwise, not really, Jamie. That's why I keep harping on the good attitude. If you approach this with a, I can't wait to see what happens today, you won't have the anxious, for the most part, and the fear that is associated at the beginning of when you start this type of lifestyle.
Oh, what great advice. And with that attitude, you are learning. And every time that you do have an experience, and some of them are like, you know, a little bit stressful, it's a chance to learn and it's a chance to grow and it's a chance to help someone else. Because we all go through this. And that's why I love when people share their experiences, whether it's through a Facebook post or a Instagram reel or a YouTube video. And it's like, oh, I'm so glad you shared that because and now it's going to help me. And then we try to share the same thing when we go through things, and we're all in this together.
It's like having a bad boyfriend. You don't want to have a bad boyfriend, but after you get past it, you realize, okay, I'm not doing that again. I know not to do that. I know not to take that behavior. You know what I mean? You learn from everything that comes through your life. And this is exactly the same. I know traveling through Maine, I need to be real careful because they don't have my type of tire on the shelves there.
Right. That's true. It's all learning as we go, and it gets easier as we go. That's awesome. Awesome advice. So you were kind of hinting about it a little bit earlier about where you guys like to stay. And so boondocking, you had mentioned, is one of the things that you do. Is that kind of your preference, or where do you, like, if you could stay anywhere, where's your favorite place to stay in the RV?
I prefer to stay on BLM land, out in the country, the mountains. You know, we all prefer that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would much rather not stay at a campground. As we speak, I'm in a campground for the month. I'm in Southern California enjoying the beautiful weather here at the Fountain of Youth in Niland, California. It's very nice here. But I much prefer, and most of the time, stay with my group, and we stay in BLM camp areas that we found all over the United States. Again, this RV club is 36 years old. They have been everywhere. And when I tell you, some of these members can tell you that on the corner of 3rd and Main in Boise, Idaho, there's a free dump there at the 7-Eleven. So I would much rather stay there. Colorado, I love, because they have beautiful high elevation land that you can stay for the summer, and it's so beautiful and it's free.
Yeah, that's what we had found too. And you just talking about your group, I mean, for $120 a year, and now with, you know, $10 off, $110, you are going to save that so quickly. And just even finding free dump stations or free places to stay. And I mean, that is amazing. 36 years of experience is priceless.
It is priceless. And again, I've only been in the group since 2019. So I still learn from these people all the time. And then, you know, I hope to teach people behind me as well. But you're right. At $120 a year, it's nothing, because what you're really paying for over that $120 is, okay, our exclusive trips, but really and truly, it's the friends, it's the camaraderie, it's the tribe. It's priceless, really. But, you know, we got to have a website and some administration, so we do need to pay a little money for it. But this club needs to go on long after I'm have anything to do with it, the next generations, so that there is a place for people that travel by themselves as a choice, as a lifestyle choice. We've all been at a wedding and the table for eight and the chair beside us is empty for us single, chronic single people. And it's just, we want a place where that's not what our life is. And so when you travel with an RV group, any RV group, you're not on your own there. There's no seat beside you at the table of eight. The whole table of eight is full of solo people.
I love that. You know, I just thought about this. My husband and I, we always talk about it. We've been married 31 years. We love traveling together. We love this life. We cannot ever see us settling down. And we talk about, we're in healthcare. And so we're not promised tomorrow. We see it every day. And what if something happens to either of us? We talk about, well, what would you do? And this opens another huge door for us that we didn't even think about. Oh, we can still actually do this and not be alone. And that was something that I'm like, wow, how am I going to do this alone? If God forbid something were to happen to Randy, and I really don't want to stop traveling, but I really don't want to travel by myself. And so, wow, I mean, how many people, you know, find themselves in that position? And now there's the answer. I love it.
There's been about 5,200 people since we started counting about 15 years ago, 18 years ago, somewhere in there. There's been about 5,200 people that have joined this club.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a niche here. There's definitely a place for this in the RV culture.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad that you're on the show to tell us all about it. This is so informative and it's really exciting. And so you've been traveling for a long time and you've been to some really great places. I'm going to ask you probably the hardest question to answer, and a question that I don't even know how we would answer if somebody asked me, but give it your best shot. What are the top five places, your favorite places that you've been to so far?
I know, I hate this question. All RVers hate it, right?
I know.
So, in no particular order, but I love the Canadian Maritimes. If you haven't done that, oh my God, that is next level beauty and weather for the summer. Oh, it's fabulous.
Oh, good.
Then I loved the Grand Canyon because, you know, we've all been in the Grand Canyon. You fight the traffic, you get there, you park, you look over the rail, you walk up to the rail, look at the Grand Canyon. Great. Go to the gift shop, interpretive center, and you're done. At the Grand Canyon, there are 13 miles of bike trails or walking, hiking, biking trails that's closed to the public or car public. And we did that last year, year before maybe. And that was so great. I had no idea that there's 13 miles of bike trails through there.
Had no idea either.
Right. Well, because, you know, we weren't rushed to get there. We stayed in the Grand Canyon. Also, side note, we know of land that's, I think, 9 miles from the Grand Canyon that's closer than any campground, except for the campground in the Grand Canyon that you can't ever get into. So we know a free place to stay to go to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I love the Grand Canyon bike ride. And my other one was the hike of the Wave in Utah. That is won by lottery. And about 200,000 tries a year are submitted to try to win that. And somebody won in our group. And so we got to go on that. So that was a big favorite. I love Maine because one time one of our members knew where to go get lobster right from the fishermen coming in off of fishing all day. And so we went down there and bought $10 lobsters and we were staying in the Elks parking lot and we boiled those lobsters up and ate them standing there with lobster and butter running down our arms. And the weather was perfect, of course, Maine in the summer. And I was like, wow, what a life. What a life. I'm so grateful for this.
Oh, sounds like a dream, Janelle. Oh my God.
It really is.
Everything that you've mentioned, we have not done. And literally like writing this on my list. Like, this sounds so cool. Oh my gosh, what a life.
You know, people ask me and I'm like, it really is a great life. I mean, okay, you know, when it's bad, it's really bad. There's no tire and I got a flat tire and blocking traffic. Okay. But other than that, it's a great life.
And there is way more good days than bad days.
Yes.
Or none of us would do this. So it's totally, totally worth it. So how many states have you been in?
I've been in all of them except Vermont.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I don't know why. I just have missed Vermont. I've looped the U.S. 3 times and I've been to 41 of the 62 national parks.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. And such a short time.
Well, okay, now you figure, just as an example, the trips that we have coming up starting March 18th, where it's called Waltz Across Texas. So in about 6 months, we're going to go from Texas up north to Iowa, take a left, go all the way west, and then Washington, Oregon, go all the way down. And so, I mean, we're going to hit the half of the whole United States, basically, in less than 6 months.
Wow. Who is the planner for these? I forgot to ask you that. Who plans these trips? Or does everybody kind of take turns?
No, that's me. Part of what you pay for is I plan the trips, and that sounds a lot more than it is. Remember, we've been traveling for 36 years. So I look back on old trips we've been on, fine tune them, adjust them, add to them, take away, or just duplicate it with the date adjustment. And then, you know, I have a person that I've hired to help me kind of put them in format, and she double checks the GPS links and addresses and all that. But I basically plan where we're going to travel for the year. And, you know, if any member has input, I'm certainly welcome. One of our members put together, she calls it the Big Five, and it's doing the Big Five parks this summer in Utah.
Nice.
Yeah, that one's coming up. And she put that together and approached me about it. And, you know, and I put it in the correct form we use and all. But yeah, we've got that trip coming up also.
Oh, that's awesome. What a fun job you have.
Most days, yes. There are problems. When it's hard is when, like last year, we did, can't remember what it's called, but they started from Arizona, went up north and then up to Canada, Jasper and all that. Well, there were so many rigs on that trip that they were running out of places to stay. They would get to a place that we've always stayed and there's 7 too many rigs and would call me and go, now what? And so that was challenging. But I'm like, y'all have to figure it out on your own. I am not there. I can't help you. What would you do if you weren't part of the club? You need to find somewhere to go. And they did. And it was fine. You know, they did. But, you know, I feel bad. And that's challenging sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about that, but there's so many advantages of being in part of the club. It's something that you just kind of have to kind of roll the dice. And if there's a big group, then you might have to go somewhere different, but that's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we tell them that when they join, you know, here's the clear expectations. You know, we're not fantasy RV travel or one of them big fancy clubs. I mean, at 120, come on. You know.
Right. Right.
But we, you know, we set their expectations, and except for the real new RV people, which I really encourage them to join the club, it'll speed your learning curve tremendously being in a club. But except for them, most people know they can adjust on the fly. I'm sure you and Randy have pulled up somewhere you thought you were going to stay and realized this is not going to work. Now what are we going to do?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
I think with RV life, we learned, because before RV life, I was such a planner, and I learned real quick that you make your plans in pencil with RV life, and you really just have to learn how to use that eraser and adjust, and, you know, everything always seems to work out, though, and sometimes even better than you planned.
Isn't that true? Isn't that a truth?
So what do you do? Because I know we were talking about, you know, your family, like, are you nuts? And your sister having to talk with you. And people have had those talks with us, too, as you're going to see all these serial killers on your trips and all this stuff. And there's been movies. But it's like, okay, you kind of think this might be a scary experience. But personally for us, we have never had a scary experience. Is there anything that you could think of that was a scary experience that you might want to share? And also, is there anything particular that you do to stay safe on the road?
For personal safety, I'm assuming that's what you're asking about. I don't have anything on my RV that screams girl. Nothing on my RV. There's no, you know, girl power sticker or anything like that. There's nothing on there. If I stay in a rest stop or a truck stop, which I have no problem doing at all, I get there long before dark, and I shut my blind on my front window, and I don't leave the RV until the next morning at all. And even in the morning, I don't get out and check anything, which, you know, pros and cons on that, but I just get up and drive off. They don't know who's in this RV, how many people, what's going on in here. And then I'll get to the next exit or pull over at a rest stop or whatever and get out and check everything for the overnight stuff. But I don't want anyone to know that I'm in here by myself. And just like with normal life, you know, I don't take chances. I don't do stupid stuff that I wouldn't do if I was living in a sticks and bricks house either. You know, and of course you break your own rules. Okay. And, you know, then you learn the lesson. And so 2 times I have kept driving because I was feeling good and it was going good, whatever, no traffic. And so it was about 7 or 8 when I pulled over, and of course it's dark, and I just took an exit, and there was a grocery store there. But, and right next to the grocery store, there was an abandoned business closed down, old furniture store. And I was like, oh, perfect. So I parked in the front where the people at the grocery store could, you know, look over, and it was all lit up. And, you know, I slept good all night. I woke up in the morning and opened my door and, you know, drinking coffee, standing there in my house coat. And I looked over and I realized, oh my God, I am in a pretty rough neighborhood here.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is probably not good. And I look back at my car and I'm like, do I have tires? Is my car still there? And it was fine. It was fine.
Oh, good.
But I was like, well, you know what? I broke my own rule right there, and look what happened. And then one other time I did it also. I got off in this exit and there was nothing there, and there was a light. So I took a right. I could see lights down there, and it was a very rough neighborhood. And I saw the police station, and there was an abandoned lot right across from the police station. I'm like, well, I'm staying here and hoping for the best. But I lay there all night listening for every sound, nervous, you know, and I look rich in this RV, and I am not at all. But just, you know, this big old fancy RV with the car, it's obvious, you know, I'm traveling, parked on the side here. I kept the slides in that night, keys in the ignition, ready to drive off. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I was just ready to go just in case. And they were both fine. But again, I don't normally take stupid chances. And that was when I first started RVing too. I don't do stuff like that anymore at all. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Do you have a limit on how many miles or how many hours you drive a day?
Yeah, no. I drive, you know, a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours. And I mean, I'll do 400 miles if I need to, but I usually don't need to.
Okay. And then weather too sometimes plays a role in like, let's get off the road, or it's nice and it's going to be a bad day tomorrow, so let's drive extra. And
yeah,
things like that kind of happen. So what advice would you give to someone who is considering this RV life? Because you make it look pretty easy. So, and awesome. You know, I love your attitude, but no, this is real. And I know you did this without doing a whole lot of research. You really are kind of learning as you go too, and have a fantastic attitude. Is there anything particular that you would say if somebody who's like, oh, I don't know, it's good for you, Janelle, but I don't know if it could work for me. What's your advice?
Well, I would tell people definitely do more research than I did. I mean, that was ridiculous, but definitely do more research, go to some RV shows, the usual. But my advice, and I tell everyone this, my advice is be quiet, because you're going to start talking to people about this. Oh, I want to go RV. Almost everyone's going to tell you, are you crazy? Don't do that. Safety, money, you name it. You're too old. You know, you don't have enough money, or you have too much money and people are going to take advantage, whatever it is.
Yep.
So I tell people, be quiet, because you are not going to get encouraged. Now, after about a year, when they see you're making it, you're going to hear, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I'd have done that. Or, you're so brave, mm-hmm. which anybody can do it. It's just taking that first step. So that's what I tell people. Be quiet. Be quiet. Unless you're talking to other RVers. And then you'll realize, once you get with the RV group, you'll realize you feel sorry for people that stay home in their sticks and bricks house.
Oh, so true. I love that. I love be quiet, especially when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know anything about RVing, because nobody understands it. And they have only heard what either somebody else said, or an article, or, you know, TV or something, but it's all negative. And then when you actually talk to RVers, it's like, oh, this is the best life. And I'm so excited that I decided to do this. And yeah, it is awesome.
Yes. My only real experience of seeing an RV was Breaking Bad. And I thought you cooked meth in old RVs. I'm not kidding you.
That's hilarious.
I'm not kidding you.
That is so funny. That's true. That was a lot of people who, because of that show. Oh, that's funny. So I guess we get asked two questions often. And probably the top question we get asked is, how do we get our mail? And so I'm going to ask you that. How do you get your mail?
And that's so nothing, isn't it?
I know.
That's so nothing. I have a mail service in South Dakota. But, you know, your friends, people really don't get that much mail anymore. You think you do, but you don't. Of course, I used to get magazines in the mail, and I don't get to get them anymore. But, yeah, so what? I can buy them at the store when I go through. You know, my problem is, and you never think about this, or my challenge, and I'm sure you and Randy have it too, is what to do with trash. That's a much bigger issue than how do you get your mail or your prescriptions. The trash is the issue. Where do you dump trash? If you're staying on BLM land or driving from A to B and it's 300 miles, you get a bag of trash with, you know, a stinky food that you use that night or cook that night. That, to me, is much more of an issue.
So real quick, I want to tell you what we do, and then you can tell me what you do, because this is what we found, because we've just decided to boondock in this little one because our big rig wasn't set up for it and we never were comfortable, didn't know enough about it. And so with this little one, we did get solar and all that so that we can boondock. That was the whole point of this bucket list adventure. And so that was one of the first things that we discovered is, uh-oh, what do we do with our trash? And we didn't really research it. We didn't know what to do. But what we decided was, we use like Walmart size bags, and we just actually put the Walmart bag inside, like kind of hooked it over the edges of our regular trash can. And when we would fill those up, we would tie it and we would put it off to the side. And then every time we would go out, whether it was to the store or to the gas station, we would just throw one in their trash can, because we were buying something there and we felt like, well, there's trash cans there and that's what we do. So is that something that you do too? Or how do you handle that?
That's exactly what I do. And when I started out, of course, I had the regular 13-gallon trash can with the white thing,
yep.
You know, and then I'm carrying around this huge bag trying to get rid of it. Yes, that is a good trick right there. Is the little shopping bags, because that will fit in the gas station trash cans. And you can even, as you meet friends, hey, will you take my trash?
Yes, exactly. We've done that too.
People will take your trash. But it's a lot less intrusive walking up with two small shopping bags as opposed to those big white 13-gallon huge things stuffed.
Yes. Yep. We learned that pretty quickly that this isn't going to work. So let's see how we can figure this out. So that's good. Good. And then how did you choose your domicile state? Do you keep a home base somewhere, or how'd that work for you?
I looked up the domicile states based on insurance and taxes.
Smart.
And I found, for me, South Dakota was the best. My insurance cut in half. I'm talking about my car insurance.
Yes.
RV insurance cut in half dramatically, about in half, by being in South Dakota. And also I get my mail there. So That's how I chose it, just strictly because of taxes and insurance.
Smart. And that's what we kind of did some research as well. That's so cool. That's awesome. And then the second question we get asked all the time too is, how do you make money on the road to be able to live this kind of lifestyle? So if you don't mind just sharing a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I am very fortunate in that I have a pension. And so I have that income. And then plus I have my RV club, Wandering Individuals Network. I have that that I get a little income from. But we have several members that work, lots of members. Traveling nurses, number one. We have a couple of traveling nurses that'll stay with us. I don't know how it works. And sometimes they'll stay behind, like, no, I've got a 2-month commitment at this place. So, you know, they stay. We have Uber drivers that travel with us and they just connect whenever they get to a big town or however they do it. We have CPAs or financial people that do taxes, that keep other people's books. We've got a couple of personal assistants that do it from the road. We've got these, I call them kids. They're like 27. I don't know. They seem awful young to me, but they're like kind of forest rangers kind of, and they go work in the forest for 3 months and then they're off 3 months and then they come travel with us and they car camp. They don't know how miserable they are yet because they're so young, but they car camp with us. And the first time I saw them, I'm like, why are you hanging out with your grandparents? You know, they have all these van lives and all this. And they're like, no, we like hanging out with y'all. They liked where our itinerary, where we went. They liked the friendship of it, the tribe part of it. Because, you know, these kids only have each other out in the woods for 3 months.
Right.
And so to get to be around all these people, and we eat and we do a bunch of fun stuff. Now, admittedly, we hike 3 miles, they hike 20, you know, but still, there is ways to make money on the road if you just get a little ingenious. Oh, we've got a girl that does, she's a notary. So you'd be surprised how often it comes up notary. We got a girl that cuts hair. We've got a guy that gives massages. We got a dog walker. She just puts a little sign up. Hey, I'll walk your dog or babysit your dog. You know, wherever we go, if, you know, if we're staying around a bunch of other RVs. So there are ways to make money.
I love that. That is so true. It's really not that hard. It just depends on how bad you want to have this life. And so you do what you got to do. I love that. I love all those ideas of the other people doing those things too. So thanks for sharing that. This has been such an awesome conversation filled with so much information that has helped me. I know that it's going to help our listeners and everybody's going to be excited. I highly encourage everyone to join this club. I cannot wait to join myself and really excited about taking a trip and seeing where you guys go. So where can our listeners follow more of your journey and get to know you more?
Well, again, I just want to remind everybody that I've got $10 off for anyone that joins after listening to this podcast. Just when you go to the Wandering Individuals Network website to join, you'll see a place who referred you or something like that. Just be sure and put, you know, the name of y'all's podcast in there and they'll get that automatic $10 off. But you can also follow us on all the usual social media, Facebook. We've got a very robust Facebook group that you can see our trips real time, connect with other members to see if it's really as great as I'm saying it is. And then we've got Wins RV Club Instagram as well that you can follow me on.
Wonderful. I'm going to put the links to everything in the show notes and also on our blog online. Thank you so much for all of this great information. It's been so fun getting to know you and I look forward to continuing to watch your journey and I hope to see you one day on the road.
Yes. Isn't that the greatest thing? We will. We'll run into each other sometime and I appreciate very much the platform to let me talk about my lifestyle and the Wins RV Club. Thank you, Jamie.
Wasn't that conversation super informative? I am so excited to learn all about Wins RV Club and can't wait to join the club and get the inside scoop of 36 years of their experiences, find out the best free camping spots, dump stations, and so much more. It was so generous of her to offer a $10 discount, so definitely take advantage of that. Also, be sure to follow Janelle on Facebook, Instagram, and check out her website. All the links will be in our show notes, or you can visit our website at roamingyourhome.com/WinsRVClub. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You'll hear my conversations with Sarah and Jeff from Wake Up and Wander, Chris and Gary from Big Dog RV, and so many more. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and I know you will too, so come back each week. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.